Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our salvation. It's great to come into God's house and to worship Him. The people for years have done that. They've gathered together as His people, celebrating the goodness, the faithfulness, the loving kindness of a God who cares so much for each of us. What a blessing it is for us as well as we gather together here tonight and be united in Christ in His love and faithfulness. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Isn't that something? They kiss each other. They're concerned. They care about one another. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before Him and prepares the way for His steps. Our theme tonight is united in Christ in His love and faithfulness. Do you recall the sign, United We Stand? It's a show of solidarity, isn't it? That we're all together, that we're behind a certain event or a certain cause or a certain action. I've been listening to a story called Killing Kennedy, and that brought back some memories for me. Probably when I mentioned Killing Kennedy, it brings back some memories for you as well. We can probably remember exactly where we were when we heard the news that the president was shot. It was a shock to the kingdom of the United States of America. I was privileged to be able to attend President Kennedy's procession from the place where he was, the ceremony was, until he went to the Arlington Cemetery. He stood right by the bridge there and watched the dignitaries go by and watching the hearse of our president. I remember also the Twin Towers, and you probably do as well, and what you were doing when you first heard the news. I was teaching a Bible study to some pastors in circuit number one. And the secretary came down and said, there's been some kind of a disaster. A plane has gone into one of the towers. And we couldn't believe it. At first, we didn't know what to say. And then she came down a little bit later and said, a second plane. And then we all knew that this was really serious. It wasn't just some random pilot who had gone awry. It was an act of terrorism, and it scared us, and we prayed. But something happened, didn't it? We became united together. No matter how divided we are as a country in terms of our ideas and our opinions, we are the United States of America. United States of America, and we stand united, don't we? A pride wells up within us. We will fight back. We are the United States, powerful, wealthy, influential, with a strong military. That unity feels unconquerable when all is going well, with the economy flourishing, COVID-19 somewhat under control now, and we can have our group activities outside, inside, wherever we want to. But that unity fades, doesn't it? And the voices of opposition and dissent grow louder. The United States of America will not always be the dominant power, nor will it last forever. No earthly kingdom does. History has proven that time and time again. But there is a kingdom that will stand, and we know what that kingdom is. It's the kingdom of God. You remember that stanza that Martin Luther wrote? He's by our side upon the plain with His good gifts and spirit. And take they our life, goods, fame, child and wife. Let these all be gone. But yet have nothing won. The kingdom, ours, remaineth. That's the kingdom that will last forever. People swear allegiance to God's kingdom. As we do. And as we do, we are taking a spiritual stance. God gave Amos a vision of a plumb line. The whole idea was, are the people of God following God's standards or not. That's God's powerful warning. If a nation does not follow the guidance of God's word, why should he allow that nation to stand? We promise to do his bidding. We understand what it means to be immersed in Christ. For we are sheep who hears the good shepherd's voice, and he knows us, and we follow him. And he gives us eternal life, and we shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck us out of his hands. In a real sense, it's a win-win situation, isn't it? For we are citizens of the endowed United States with all its benefits and privileges. And I had an opportunity to witness 38 people being naturalized at the Village Green at Souder on Saturday. Tears are in their eyes. Some holding little flags as they said the Pledge to Allegiance. We are part of that land. But we are also citizens of the Kingdom of God, with all its rights and privileges. And you and I have witnessed that many times, haven't we? When young people stood before the Lord's altar and promised to be faithful to God, renewing their baptismal vows, committing themselves to Jesus Christ like you have done, forever. Paul in Ephesians 1 offers this promise. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. It was delightful. A number of years ago, when Marcia and I was able to visit the Van Gogh fields at the Toledo Museum of Art. Perhaps some of you were there as well. You sense the artist in those paintings. The optimistic worker begins the cycle of farming, like so many of us have done. We couldn't wait to get out in those fields, to plant the seeds, to see those seeds emerge. And then, like now with the wheat harvest, the grim reaper comes along, and it all comes to an end. It certainly came to a very quick and cruel end for John the Baptizer, didn't it? Beheaded. If we live for this world only, that harvest time can be grim indeed. But not for us, because we are united in Christ's love and faithfulness. We win whether we live or die. Isn't that what St. Paul said? And we confess that as well. For we are in Christ. Now, what does it mean to be in Christ? It means that people can see Christ in us. We are a reflection, an image, a picture that can be seen and read. Now, I'd like to show you a few other pictures. And we'll see if you can track with me where I'm going with this. It was Count Rotari who painted 850 paintings of a young Russian women from all over the kingdom. And they were pictures to represent the Empress Catherine II. Models from all over Russia, provinces, were painted, each different, each unique. So how were these 850 portraits each different and unique? How did they reflect the Empress? Each of those 850 portraits bore an unusual resemblance to the young Catherine in her early days. Each picture had some gesture, some pose, some facial characteristic, some jewel, some flower, certain type of dress, a delicate references to the Empress herself. And when people looked at those 850 paintings, they looked for what identified that person with the Empress. Being united in Christ means that people can see Jesus in us. We are united in his love and faithfulness. They can see Jesus in us. They can see in our intelligent smile Ah, in our contagious humor, and some of you are great, in our infectious enthusiasm for the kingdom of God and for his people, they can sense Christ in our forgiveness, in our graciousness, in our comforting, in our helpfulness, in our healing words, in our caring, in our supporting. Because of Christ, we have great joy. Joy that the world cannot know. Joy of knowing we are in the hands of God forever. Being united in Christ's love and faithfulness means we reflect Jesus. People can see a bit of him in us, just like they did with those paintings that Count Rotari did. They could see the Empress. People can see Christ in you. I would imagine, as people look at those 850 different portraits, they look for the Empress, Catherine II, and they look for that connecting link. They knew she was there somewhere. Where is she in this painting? In that painting? Oh, remember the children's book, Where's Waldo? Got to look really hard. He's there, and I'm sure you helped your children or grandchildren to find Waldo. Or maybe because they got such sharp eyes and ours aren't so good, they pointed Waldo out to us. What part of us reflects Christ? Do they see God's love? Do they see God's faithfulness in you from Christ? Do they see what the psalmist is talking about, this love and faithfulness? When people look at us, can they sense forgiveness? Christ forgave us, didn't he? And we forgive as well. And when they see that forgiveness in us, can they sense that it's there too for them? Christ is the payment for our sins. And not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. That's what the Apostle John wrote in his letter, his first letter to John, chapter 2, verse 2. To be united in Christ's love and faithfulness means we understand that forgiveness which we experience can be experienced by every single human being. Christ died for all. Salvation is God's free gift, isn't it? It's been given to you and it's been given to me. It's been given to every human being. It's mine and yours, those of us who are gathered here today. I want to share a couple more pictures. You remember this one. The three men in the fiery furnace. How much joy must have radiated in those three men when they were tossed into that fiery furnace and not even a hair was singed. They had to have smiles on their faces. And then this fourth one appears. They must have radiated with joy in that heat, for it was cool in that furnace for them. But I don't think that's where the real joy came from. I think the real joy came not because they weren't consumed, not because of the angel that was there. I think the real joy those three men had is when they heard that idolatrous, most powerful king of the world at that time, King Nebuchadnezzar, who confessed these words to everybody who would listen. Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants, who trusted in him and set at naught the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own God. Their witness paid off, didn't it? And I'm sure there was just joy radiating from their faces as they saw that idolatrous king who had them thrown into the furnace now confessing their God. Perhaps our witness for God may never be quite so dramatic, but it's just as important. People see in us the Savior, for we are united in Christ's love and in his faithfulness. To be united in Christ means to know that the Heavenly Father has his arms open for us always. He accepts us, even when we disappoint ourselves. And that's going to happen, isn't it? We make mistakes. We fail to do that which is good, and we know it's good. But because we are united in Christ and His love and faithfulness, we are accepted. And that's the greatest blessing of all. A couple more paintings. You know this one, Rembrandt. He painted this one of Abraham sacrificing his only chosen son, Isaac, on that altar, as commanded by God. In the painting, Abraham looks up in response to God's call, and the knife literally flies out of his hand. It's almost as if Rembrandt is saying that Abraham was waiting for that voice, waiting for God to intervene, waiting for God to do something to stop this sacrifice. And Abraham got what he wanted. The voice spoke. The angel said, stop. Rembrandt portrays a mixture of awe, amazement, and relief on Abraham's face. But that's not all. The painting is even more inspiring when we learn that the same model used for Abraham's face was also used for the father in Return of the Prodigal Son. Both paintings capture the father with a loving heart and a caring concern for his lost son, just as God does for us. Both paintings capture this image of God, of a caring, loving, forgiving God who loves you so much. The psalmist put it this way about God's actions toward us. Loving kindness and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. In His name, we are filled with that same love and faithfulness. Amen.